111 emergency, fire, ambulance or police.
It's a matter of life or death.
They're the front line of a strained health service, but paramedics say they're the ones on life support.
What do we want?
100%!
When do we want it?
Now!
They are very unhappy about being undervalued, and there's an underfunding crisis going on here.
And now more of those on the front line of the country's emergency services are at breaking point.
This is police, where is the emergency?
The emergency is St John. Staff say it's underfunded, understaffed, and overstressed. With the rise in cases, pressure is mounting on emergency services.
We're seeing delays of up to 14 hours for non-life-threatening emergencies.
Stand up, fight back! Stand up, fight back!
The urgency is now.
Union members say there's a massive shortfall. They say they are not robots, as stress mounts from staffing shortages.
So what do frontline staff fear?
One of my colleagues gets killed on the job.
And what about patients?
They are really concerned that they will not get a call out to a code orange, red or purple and somebody will die.
Kia ora, I'm Amanda Gillies and today on The Detail, the state of St John. Insiders say what should be our life-saving service is right now on life support. It's been called broken and a shambles. Staff have been striking.
Hey, hey! Underfunding starts to go.
And The Detail has been told on top of underfunding, there's not enough staff, resulting in single crewing, dangerous situations and graduates being left unemployed while shifts aren't worked. Some are even leaving for Australia, which offers more money and better support. So how does this get turned around? I spoke to longtime emergency medical technician Tom Bannon at the Australasian Council of Ambulance Unions conference in Auckland.
It's sad, Amanda. I see my colleagues, they're getting really frustrated with funding. You know, we heard about the promises that the coalition government made us. And I don't want to make this all political. It's way deep in that. It's way above my pay grade, you know. But it's about our staff, the burnout, just on the mental health side of things. You know, we're in a conference today with other unions and one of my colleagues is a peer supporter. And he said, look, I'd really like you to bring this up with Amanda just to, as evidence-based. And our peer supporters, 2022, the average peer support recommendation for someone to go and talk to someone, said about 300 to 400 a year. To date, that is now over 1,000.
Wow. What's causing this? What is, you know, what's behind this increase?
We've got a younger workforce now, so we don't have the same experience on the road. You know, someone, an old man like me, 35 years under their belt. And look, I'm not going to be around forever, Amanda, and I take my hat off to the young ones. They do degrees, you know, and they're smart people. But it's the workload, not having the support of an experienced paramedic, EMT or critical care paramedic to talk to, it takes its toll. You know, some of the things that our staff see, as one of the psychologists that I work with said, you know, we, in order to do our job, normalise the abnormal, because what we see on a daily basis is not normal.
Because what are you seeing?
Oh, where do I start? You know, you've only got to look into the media. You're part of the media. 5 fatal events in Auckland in the last fortnight with guns and knives, beatings, domestic disputes, fights, and then just the general wave of winter workload that comes through. 10, 15 years ago, we might get a break, you know, maybe an hour's downtime on station, but now it's just go from the time you start work to the time you go home, and you're buggered when you go home. And the younger ones, you know, they signed up for all the right reasons. You know, like I say, I'm not going to be around forever. There are the replacements coming through. Yesterday, when I finished my day shift, I handed over to a whole new watch at my station, which is 2 new vehicles. Between the 4 of them, they had 5 years' experience total. I've got 35. So between 4 staff, there's 5 years' experience going on those trucks. And I'm not, it's not the staff. They're keen, you know, they want to do things, they want to make a difference. All the right reasons for being there. But also, Amanda, the other thing is that they have opportunities overseas now. Australia, they're offering up to 23% more in wages You know, and people say money's not everything, but when you're young, trying to get ahead, especially trying to buy a house in Auckland, money is everything, you know. And the job opportunities, the progression to get higher up in their practice levels and that is there. It's on a plate for them.
How many are leaving?
My station alone, we've lost 6 in the last 6 months. I've been told today that one of my colleagues here said that there's potentially 6 leaving her station.
You've been in this job for 35 years. Has it ever been this bad?
No. It's the first time in the history of New Zealand Ambulance we've walked off the job.
Was that tough?
Very tough. Our staff have been in tears. You know, we don't want to walk off the job, but we're trying to send a message to our employer and to Christopher Luxton, Shane Reti, Winston Peters, the coalition government, it's not good enough. The people of New Zealand deserve better. The ambulance is truly the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. We're responding to more jobs in rural areas because they can't get GPs. So who picks it up? We do. You know, you've only got to see the police are talking about not responding to mental health jobs at the end of this month, I believe. How that's going to impact on us is going to be huge. Because you can't get mental health teams out at night. You can phone and try and get them, but they're just not there. So it's always the ambulance that is the ambulance at the bottom of the hill. We've always been there for Kiwis. But what we've currently got with the mixed model funding, it's not enough. It's not good enough. We need 100% funding. When do we need it? Now. And we need a proper review of the ambulance service funding going forward. And you just can't keep trying to push square things through a round hole. This is not going to work.
While St John can be the difference between life and death for patients, the government only funds 83% of the service. The rest is made up of donations, fundraising and patient co-payments.
What do we want?
100%!
When do we want it?
Now!
We are probably going to strike again. It's been discussed.
After we talked, First Union members voted to reject St John's offer and they notified the organisation they will strike again on September the 27th.
And why are we striking? It's not because we want huge pay rises. We want money to be able to get the tools to do the job, but to be paid a fair wage to live in this crazy world that it is at the moment. And everyone's in the same boat. We understand that. We appreciate that. You know, but the cost of living in Auckland, and you know, people say, well, you don't have to live here. Okay, so who's going to do our jobs if we go? Yeah, it's an easy answer to say, oh, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. And it's a wrong answer. What we need is a correct funding model that will allow for future development, progression. We're having an increased population. We know that. People are flooding in here because it's a great little country, you know.
I want to know, would more funding from the government solve a lot of problems, or is there systemic issues within, say, management of St John, which is perhaps proving problematic?
That's putting me on the spot, isn't it? We need more funding, okay? Some of our fleet vehicles, our frontline fleet vehicles, have done over 300,000 Ks, okay? I'm sure you change your car before 300,000 Ks. You're not driving under lights and sirens, going to an emergency, doing 120 kilometres down the road, you know? Our newest ambulance at Silverdale, which we got February last year, I worked in it yesterday, we've clocked up 176,000 Ks in it in that period of time, which is 18 odd months. Some of our gear's old. We need more staff. We need to retain staff. We need to train staff. You know, St John's, and I'm not here to bag them about their ideas and that, is their mismanagement of money. I guess that's, I think, where you were going. I've got no proof of it. I can't prove that they're mishandling their money. Does it feel like it sometimes? Yeah.
In a statement, St John told us they are in discussion with ACC and Te Whatu Ora about moving to 100% funding for day-to-day running costs. It says it takes the management of Crown funding very seriously and is held accountable through a number of stringent reporting measures, including how quickly it responds to patients. On staffing, it says there is currently a national vacancy rate of 6.2% and has 100 more frontline personnel than the same time last year and 270 more than 2 years ago. It added, the well-being of our people is very important to us.
will a injection of money from the government help? Yeah, it would. Any money would help. You know, as you know, we're in the middle of negotiations. If you speak to my employer or even to Christopher Luxton, he will say he's not getting involved because we're in the middle of negotiations. Put the negotiations aside, St. John's. Put the negotiations aside, government. We need more money, period.
And how would you describe the situation right now?
Broken. Our staff are showing signs of fatigue, stress, not wanting to come to work. They know they're going to get slammed because we don't have enough trucks on the road. And it shouldn't be this hard, Amanda. It should not be this hard to sit down and negotiate with an employer and a government. Yeah, but that is the one word that I would use, is broken. Broken but repairable if we do something now.
What about, I'm hearing that there is single crewing. What is single crewing and what is the fallout from that?
So if tonight I was at work and my partner didn't turn up and they didn't have someone to match me up with, they would make me a first response unit. So I can first respond to the job and then I have to wait for backup. Now I work at Silverdale. Backup can be maybe if someone's on station 10, 15 minutes away, or it could be an hour away. It's coming from West Auckland, the city, the shore, and it's just delaying getting people to hospital. The bigger problem, aside from the single crewing, is not being able to cover ambulances. Again, I have written information from St. John's about a recall. So if they can't cover shifts with roster staff, they'll put it out to recalls. And I've got some of the texts here to show you that, you know, sometimes that's up to 9 vehicles. So on a night shift, I think we run about 30-something vehicles. So you take 9 of those out of the picture. Yeah, it's almost a third of our vehicles. Gone, uncovered.
Wow, what risk does that put to Kiwis in desperate need of medical help?
Yeah, it puts them at risk, but it puts more pressure on my colleagues that work in our control centre. Our people making clinical assessments within the control room, deciding who is going to get those ambulances. I would hate to be in their shoes, you know. Making those decisions in there about where we go as clinicians on the road, I think is more stressful for them because, you know, they could get it wrong. And we're humans, we're not robots. And, you know, I talk to my colleagues at work in there and some of them are stressed to the max. And that's, I guess, with a lack of funding. Again, it's a stress factor, it's a risk factor.
At the rate you're going, what's the worst case scenario? What do you fear the most?
One of my colleagues gets killed on the job. We've seen it happen in Australia.
Only a matter of time before it happens here?
I've never wanted to say that, but yeah, I think so.
So what about the patients? Well, we already know of cases, the latest in Rangiora in April, where a delay in an ambulance responding to 111 calls resulted in a patient dying. Coroner's reports have criticised the service before, but it's still happening. Chris Darby is an Auckland councillor and Northland farmer. This month, while on his farm, he came to the rescue of a lost ambulance, which was looking for a stroke patient on a remote beach. It was a code red incident.
Talking to the first responders at Whanganui up on the coast there in Northland, they are really concerned that they will not get a call out to a code orange, red or purple and somebody will die. And it will be a visitor to our beautiful coast or it will be a local living on our coast. And they are very, very concerned.
In his case, the two-wheel drive ambulance had been given the wrong directions, so he guided them over 2 km of unmaintained council road to within 600 metres of the patient.
So I said, OK, guys, you can't take this thing any further. I was laden up with farm gear and I said, look, one of you can jump in my wagon and I'll speed you over. But they wanted me to go ahead and just find out where the individual was that had had, as we knew at that stage, a stroke. And I raced ahead and located them on the northern part of Pariparia Beach. Pariparia Beach is a little-known beach, a stunning Northland beach. These guys had been having a surf. They're probably in their late 60s, and they'd been having a surf. and one of them had suffered a stroke and was now lying on the beach. So I located them, raced back, and picked up one paramedic with an emergency backpack and a stretcher, and then raced back to allow that first paramedic to start giving the necessary support to the person on the beach.
If you weren't there, directing, helping, locating, what would have happened?
I don't think they would have located that person. I don't think they'd been given, this is St. John's Dispatch, had not given them directions on how to reach the victim. When I first came across them, they were coming out of a one-way private road which went to a different beach, a very small beach, which on a map, I'm sure a dispatcher is looking at the map and saying, that's the road to the beach. But it was not the road to the beach. It took them probably an hour and a quarter to get to where I was when I met them. But the real nub of the problem here is we have on the Whanganui coast and around Northland and around Aotearoa, New Zealand, we have rural fire services, Fens Rural Fire Services, now integrated with Fens. We have within those fire services, the rural fire services, very well-trained first responders. And in Whanganui, we have 10 of those, 10 individuals who are trained first responders. And for code orange, red and purple call-outs that St. John's receive, then the protocol is that the first responders are notified and they can respond. Those first responders, for some months now, have not been getting the code orange, red or purple calls from the St. John's ambulance dispatch.
Why not? A simple question.
There appears to be a problem with systems wherever that dispatch is happening. I think it happens here in Auckland. So that's the difference between the care ultimately arriving 1.5 hours later, as it did on Friday, compared with 10 minutes, a local first responder, maximum time. 10 minutes they could be at Pariparia Beach.
And that's the difference between life and death. Can be.
It is absolutely the case. And maybe not the case in this instance with the stroke victim.
I'm going to say, how was the stroke victim?
They were stable and they'd been properly cared for by the friend, the other surfer. But if it was possibly a drowning or a cardiac arrest, we've got defibs in the first response unit at Whanganui, they would be there within 10 minutes, they could resuscitate. If it was an accident, a bone break or something serious like that, or a laceration, a severe laceration, the first responders can stop the bleeding. An hour and a half with somebody who's had an accident and maybe is maybe recovering from drowning or could be resuscitated from drowning or a cardiac arrest or bleeding needs to be stopped, you need to do that quickly. You're going to lose a person if it's an hour and a half, as we found on Friday.
So what has to happen? What has to change to make this work?
I think there's a systemic problem at St. John's, and that's what I'm being told by local first responders at Whanganui, and they are talking to other first responders from other rural fire service units where, you know, their peers, their volunteer peer equivalents, and they are hearing similar stories. Now, my question is that a Whanganui issue? Is it a Northland issue? Is it a national issue? And what is the system's problem? My understanding is the Whanganui Rural Fire Service first responders were promised some months ago that it would be rectified.
And nothing.
And it has not been rectified.
Is it time to merge Fens and St. John, do you think?
Well, I think that St John's or the ambulance services, because there is the Wellington Free in Wellington, of course, as well, I think they're the poor cousins to the health system, you know, in an integrated way. For me, Te Whatu Ora, I do wonder whether the ambulance service, there should be a national ambulance service integrated into Te Whatu Ora holistically, as opposed to being an appendage to Te Whatu Ora. Now, I don't know whether that's been looked at. I'm not sure whether it's just merging Foreign Emergency New Zealand with the ambulance service. I wonder if there's that option that needs to be explored, or maybe the ambulance service being fully integrated with the national health system.
He says at the end of the day, the problem doesn't lie with frontline staff, but with top-tier management.
We need to be very aware that the frontline paramedics that are doing the hard yakka for St John's, they are not the problem. They are doing superlative work. They are amazing. And we should all know, we can rely upon them. When they turn up, they're doing an amazing job. I think there's some systemic issues within the back office of St John's. I think St John's senior management need to look at themselves. I think they need to look at why the change is not happening. It's on their shoulders. The senior management and directors there, they need to be fronting up and saying what they are doing about rebooting the St John's Ambulance Service across Aotearoa.
How would you describe the situation right now? What words would you use to describe it?
Look, what comes to mind is I think there's a culture problem at St John's. Fundamentally, I think there's a culture problem. And maybe a minister needs to, you know, we're in the climate of everybody's getting reviewed. Maybe a minister might say, well, I'm going to call for a review of this service. I'm going to have a look independently. I'm not going to have it self-analyse itself. You know, I'm going to take an external look into this organisation, see what's wrong with it.
In response to Chris Darby's incident, St John has apologised. It says the local fire and emergency first responders weren't requested to respond, and they should have been. An internal process is underway to find out what went wrong. But it also says it focuses its rural resources in areas of higher population where the most need is. Additional paid staff and ambulances have been introduced to several rural communities over the past 2 years, along with roaming resources based in provincial hubs, including in Northland. St John's statement says they are in active discussion with Health New Zealand around improving the rural response framework over the coming years. That's all for today. The Detail is a newsroom production supported by RNZ and New Zealand On Air. Thank you to Tom Bannon and Chris Darby. This episode was produced by Davina Zimmer and Alexia Russell and engineered by Phil Binge. I'm Amanda Gillies. Mā te wā.